Greetings, this is James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio on the VBS network. And we've got another great show. We've got a few upcoming events I want to talk about. We've got Randy Kramer, known as Captain K from Mars, and he's going to be doing a sonic boot camp this September 25th through the 27th. And the registration for that is now open. And we've got a self-mastery and making contact workshop with Tashina. And a lot of people used to know her as Natasha, and she's an Apache Wisdom Keeper and contactee, and she's also totally aligned genetically with the Arcturian. So it's quite an amazing energetic workshop, and it'll be like an ambassador training with a little bit of a twist to it. So those who have done the ambassador trainings are going to love this. We also have a gratitude gathering Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll have that posted up soon. Where it's just kind of a closing out the year, you know, like just to give gratitude and give thanks to everybody who supported the study. And we'll bring in a lot of the crops grown here and whatever else and have a nice little potluck or something of that nature. And camping and Skywatch weekends are available in October and November. So we're going to go all the way through October and November this year if people want to come up and do the Skywatches. And so getting that out of the way, I want to get to my guest, Sonja Barrett. She's an author, lecturer, documentary film producer, and more. Her insights are cutting edge, with much of it supported by quantum physics. Sonja Barrett's work bridges the gap between science and spirituality in a simplified format. She addresses the programming, beliefs, and concepts by which we have lived our lives, both individually and collectively. She's known for her mind-bending concepts. She stretches the mind even further by going beyond common view of time. She's appeared on panels such as noted speakers, scientists, as Dr. Amit Goswami, Bruce Lipton, and others. She's been a keynote speaker at a number of conferences, including eSETI conferences. And in 2010, Sonja wrote an article titled The Marketing of Breast Cancer, The Pink Ribbon Agenda. That's a good one, like Run from the Cure, you know, it's the same program. But the positive feedback was staggering. This led to the production of the documentary The Business of Disease, which won Best Documentary in the 2014 Marina Del Rey Film Festival. As she points out, the fact is that as individuals, we're responsible for our bodies. We have an obligation to manage these bodies through which we experience the gifts of life. To relinquish the responsibility to doctors and pharmaceutical companies is to abandon self-reliance and self-responsibility, which are essential features in the manner of which we manage our health. Her current project is the Self-Care Movement, a speaker series taking place once a month over the next 3 months in Beverly Hills, California. And she's here to talk about the importance of this event and share with us her latest undertaking. So welcome back to the show. It's always great to hear your voice, and I know we share a lot of similar beliefs, especially with about self-responsibility. You know, I always felt self-responsibility is almost the key to everything. You know, right. Stop giving your power away and taking orders from idiots, you know, and we can turn this planet right around.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so what have you been up to, and what's up in your life?
Oh, I don't know. I've been up to all kinds of stuff. But you named, I think, one of the things that I'm actually up to. I actually did a retreat a couple of weeks ago, which really went well, in Mount Shasta, and mm-hmm. so that was awesome. I mean, it was, you know, we had planned it a year in advance, so it was really, really, really an incredible experience. And now that I've said that, I just thought about it, and then we're doing another one in February, but that's going to be in Joshua Tree. So if anybody's interested, they can always go to my website for that information. You know, it's spiritinformed.
But you've got September 19th, one on vaccination.
Well, we're planning to change the date. I have to check to see if that was done. But, yeah, it's a three-part speaker series that I actually had decided to do, and I don't know why it's not linking on the site right now. And that has to do with the film. When I thought about the film, which is The Business of Disease, I thought it would be really an incredible thing to gather some of the people in the film, as well as some people that, you know, who aren't in the film, to give people more of an insight into much of this kind of information for self-care. Like the first one was going to be actually about vaccines. And actually, your wonderful nephew is going to be speaking. Cody.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very proud of Cody. He's, you know, I've almost raised him like a father, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to go deeper into that, but he's my
Yeah, sister. He speaks highly of you. Definitely. But, he is a wealth of knowledge. He's really done well in terms of just researching, and not just researching the information, but in terms of how much he cares.
He's got a big heart, and that's what he's in it for. And you know, I know too is that you know he worked on the genome experiment at UC Irvine, he actually has some genes named the code box gene is named after him. So you know, he's done his homework and he's done his research, and he's you know, very knowledgeable about this whole fiasco we have called the medical industry, you know.
Right. And I should mention that it is Dr. Cody Long. So he is an MD. So it is it's really about this one was really about understanding your choices and knowing how to rebound the body's chemical balance. And so he has so much information in terms of even, you know, what people's, you know, rights are with this whole vaccine thing and everybody running kind of worried about whether, they, you know, that they have to, they're being forced to do this and what some of those options are. So that, you know, that is quite a bit of the information that we plan to share there. And then October 17th, unique.
You know, what is happening? I haven't followed that recently, but I know in California they're trying to force vaccines and writing legislation around it. I haven't heard the latest on that. Where's
well,
that
they
going?
Did. They did. They passed the law that your child has to be vaccinated. Let's see, how does it go? They have to be vaccinated, but it has to do with going into kindergarten. If your child is kindergarten age, before they can get into kindergarten, or even daycare, even a babysitter, they have to have these, whatever the shots are. Now, if your child is past that age, and they are, before they go into seventh grade, right? If they're past that age, but not in seventh grade, of course, you don't have to do any worry about it until they go to seventh grade. Once they're going into seventh grade, they have to have the vaccine if they have not had it. After seventh grade, I don't think there is you can't do anything. They don't bother you about it. So those are the stages, and you can, basically, they're saying the only way that you can escape that is if your doctor says that the vaccines would be detrimental to your health, your child's health. And that's kind of how they're doing it. The problem with that is a lot of people don't understand what that means. You know, what does that mean? So most people are running scared that they will have to vaccinate their child. So it's all in the wording and understanding what that means and you know, what doctor you use, who your doctor is, and so on. But it's crazy to force people to do this to themselves to their child. So for somebody to force you to put something in your body that you don't want there is crazy, unless you homeschool. Now, if you're homeschooled, you don't have to do it. But if you go into their domain, which is basically what it is, if you go into their game, their matrix, then these are the rules of the matrix of that game, that system. That's basically what
it seems like. Any doctor in his right mind, if he did any research whatsoever, would write a note and say, you know, these are harmful, you know, the mercury and all the other, you know, detergents and everything else that are in there, you know, if you look up the research. But the problem is we don't have very many doctors in their right mind. You know, they're just,
well, they don't want to get
all the rules and
lose their license. I mean, there's a lot of factors as far as they're concerned They don't want to lose their license. Not only that, if you have a lot of doctors doing it, obviously, then the one wouldn't run the risk. But if you have just one doctor here or there sporadically, then, yeah, it's not that doctor is not supported by his colleagues, and that's not going to go very well. And so that's I think, that's the fear, along with the fact that there are some, I think there are some doctors that just are not educated to a large degree on, you know, the impact of some of this on the on a mm-hmm. child or on an adult.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody I know that gets the flu shots, that have had the flu shots, they all get sick after they get the flu shots. You know.
Yeah, I've seen serious. I mean, I've had friends go down and went and got the, I told them, do not get that shot, and they went and got it anyway.
Yeah.
And because they work in the medical profession and things like that, and it's basically forced on them. And they got
right.
it, and then they went down, and they got sick, and they started having nerve damage and shakes and
oh, yeah,
and
it makes them really sick.
And fainting.
Mm-hmm. Makes them really
yeah,
sick.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they even miss the, they always miss the flu, too. They are, a lot of times they vaccinate for the wrong one, you know, so.
Yeah.
So it's
pretty crazy. It's pretty, you know, so the bottom line, like you said earlier, is that people really have to push the envelope in wanting to take responsibility for themselves, really wanting
mm-hmm.
to question, wanting to see what their options are, as opposed to everybody running around, like they say, like chicken without, you know, its head, thinking, oh, my God, I got to do this. I've got to do this. And I find that there's always a way around many of these things, but you got to get out of the fear in order to properly investigate what your options are.
Exactly. I mean, when I see something I know is wrong intuitively or whatever, right there I'd say, no, period, I'm not going to do it. Okay, now I have to figure out how I'm not going to do it.
What are your options? Yeah, what are your options, mm-hmm. you know, outside of that? And I think that that's where people are kind of stuck. Because we've become accustomed and programmed to operate by this model where
uh-huh.
the everything external, you know, is responsible for us, that the system or the government, the doctor,
yeah.
you know, everybody else knows what's best for us, but we don't. And so I think that is the programming, and so it makes it very difficult for those people to not invest all of their hopes and dreams and trust especially in Western medicine.
Mm-hmm. It seems like almost every level, almost all of our problems come from giving our power away to some agency or group or whatever that always abuses it and ends up using it against us. And it just seems like all of the agencies now have shifted, you know, like the Department of Defense is the Department of Offense. You know, they're doing exactly
right.
the opposite of what they were set up to be. Everything you look in, you look into all the agencies have turned and are no longer of service, you know, to humanity. They become an extreme disservice and self-serving. But I'm seeing a change now with a lot of people within these agencies and systems are starting to come forward and just saying, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't
yeah.
what I came you know to do, and even in the military they've got well over 50% of the people are oath keepers, you know, and they're not going to carry out any illegal orders. So it's going to get real interesting in the days to come.
Yeah, we've definitely seen it because you know our world has certainly changed in terms of how we live, you know, what we fight for, what our rights, what we think our rights are. Who's giving you those rights? I mean, there's just so
yeah.
many factors that, you know, and some of it, of course, yes, it's very, very touchy. So some of it you really can't even really talk about, can't even mention it because, you know, people are so programmed now, you know, that they defend all of these things. They defend so much. It's just interesting to watch it. It's just interesting to watch it. And the people, the younger
yeah.
people, will not know. When you're born into life the way it is, as in all generations, that's all you know. So they won't even know that the world was very different, even, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago than what they have now. So it's
yeah, definitely. I agree. There's so many different things happening right now that when you're born into and you look around, it just seems normal. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's just normal.
It's normal.
It's the new... normal, you know?
Yeah, it's normal to have 850 toxins in your drinking water, you know? It's normal to have radiation raining down on you, you know? It's normal to have chemtrails every day, even in the cartoons, they're putting chemtrails in cartoons now and in movies now to make it look like it's normal. But, it's just amazing, you know, that people are, you know, like the frog in the pot, they're just being boiled and they're not really looking around and paying attention.
Well, it's because it's all gradual, you know, as Charlotte Isabee always talks about is gradualism. It's happened, it's like over the course of time that people just don't really notice that they're being changed, their minds are being changed. Their beliefs are being changed. Whatever what they accept, you know, is gradually being changed. So no, they don't notice it. So when you say something, they don't have a clue what you're talking about because, you know, it's been a gradual process of arriving there. I think one of the things that I'm fascinated with now, James, is robotics and that kind of technology. I mean, years ago, I remember talking about this, and when I used to do my show. I had the professor on, Sharkey, I think. And we were talking about, you know, the level of robotics coming. And we're seeing it now with all the shows showing us the transition that is happening in terms of human beings and in terms of technology. And the conference that they had many years back that I remember I watched it on the internet, it was at a mortality conference, and they were talking about robots and giving robots rights because they were going to be a new species living alongside human beings. And now when you look at all the shows, Humanics, Extent with... Holly Berry produced also by Steven Spielberg. There are several shows that are really slowly, and this is what I mean by gradualism, slowly introducing many of these concepts to the public, you know, so that it started a while back, you know, Small Wonder. I mean, things that seemed rather insignificant. I mean, we can go back to the Jetsons with Rosie the robot, but it's just to watch how they're gradually moving our minds into this space, so that when these things happen, no differently than what we call alien life, ETs or aliens coming to the planet, everything sort of has to happen in a gradual way. And then people naturally begin, you know, now you're there. The fear kind of goes away, or the interpretation of it goes away. Wonderful, sweet, nice robots.
Yeah. Have you heard Harold Koutsella's work?
I'm sorry, who is that?
His name's Harold Koutsella. He's a German, I believe.
Mm-mm.
And he talks about the black goo and the chemtrails and all the stuff that's going on in the robotics and amazing information. And this guy's a scientist, and he just went into everything from Morgellons to you name it. And solutions, too. But he just lays it on the line. He said that they are trying to turn us into little zombie-neutered robots, consumer robots, and they are filling us up with all these, you know, heavy metals,
nanobots.
Turning us into an antenna and nanobots as well, which they can flip a switch and do anything they want to you, from cancer to heart attack to you name it. And this guy's an extreme scientist. I mean, he's got all the facts and the figures. He's done all the research. He knows exactly how all these little, you know, the smart dust and everything else that they're dropping right now. And these psychopaths we call our leaders want just total domination. I mean, they want the switch, and they want to be able to just flip the switch and turn whoever off they want to turn off.
It's no different. You know, James, I was talking about this, like, way before it was even, like, considered popular. I remember when people were talking about the smart meters, and I kept saying, you don't understand. Smart technology, it's just, you think that smart technology only relates to all of these external things. No, it's a gradual process of moving human beings into smart technology. I mean, like, moving you online. Everything was going online, and I kept saying, no, you're going online too, which basically that's what it is. It's your brain waves and everything else. Yeah, they're bringing everybody online, and that's what makes it possible to navigate or to control, obviously, a human being. But people don't really understand it from that standpoint, that everything is technology-based, and human beings are high-level technology. It's the only way that they would be able to do these kinds of scientific manipulations or changes. So I think it's really important mm-hmm. that people begin to understand more about not just this biology, but, you know, well, the biology and our brain and how it impacts us, the lack of information, the lack of knowledge, when we're just gullible and we go along with everything and we question nothing. It actually makes it easier for the programs to be imprinted. It's just much easier because there's no opposition, and it's just much easier to navigate another human being. But I think, yeah, the science of who we are, if we get that, it makes a huge difference. But certainly, yes, all of that is going on, you know, right.
Yeah. I think people want to just go on YouTube or whatever and type in, it's HARALDKAUTZVELLA, and boy, he just lays it all down, and he gives you the specifics and the scientific explanations of what's going down, and I think people really need to get educated, you know, concerning what is raining down on them, and what's in their water, and what's in their air, you know, their food, and figure it out, because you know, I'm seeing very clearly now. We have an old saying here: the fluoride is working. You know, when we see that dumb look on people's face, and they go into cognitive dissonance, and they just can't follow you or listen to you know what you're telling them. You know, we see that they just shift and kind of start whistling and look off and look in a different direction, and then when you come back to social consciousness, all of a sudden they click back on again. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, that's all I could say is I see it. You see it every day. You see it on the freeway. You know, just everywhere. How people, and especially because we have so many new technological doodads, people are totally lost in their doodads. They're texting.
Exactly.
Their next piece of item. People are very lost in that, and it's very distracting. So it's so much easier to do whatever you need to do because we're all, you know, everybody's caught up in the next, whatever the next phone is. It's pretty interesting to watch. Like the lady.
I know. I tried.
To
I mean, I have an iPhone, and I swear, it's like. My iPhone, the energy I feel from it is, like, not good. It's looking at me. It's monitoring everything. It's like, and not being paranoid because I know all that technology exists. And even on my computer, you know, I can't even do a Skype conversation anymore. It doesn't matter where I go, what I do.
Right.
They've got their finger on the switch, and they just cut it off, especially if
I get anything important.
Right,
right. Been there with it. Completely understand.
Yeah.
I cut off several, like one show I got cut off like 6 or 7 times. I was interviewing the woman that did, she was a lawyer actually, she wrote the book Sexual Sabotage. And that, of all the people, I've interviewed a lot of interesting people, and that one, we got, every time I would ask her a specific question, it would get cut off. And she, I mean, yeah, it was really interesting. And why? Because this was several years ago. Why? Because a lot of what she she was talking about, we can now see it today. Really, really interesting stuff.
They own the first three chakras.
Yeah. Right. As they say, riding it pretty good.
I always tell people, they've got survival, sex, and power down. You know, the first three chakras, they know how to totally manipulate you. With that, the problem they're having with is the heart chakra. And when people drop into the heart and they tap into their own soul and their own direct knowingness, that's when you start stepping out of the matrix. And that's what they're mostly trying to avoid right now, is to keep people locked into survival, sex, and power.
Yeah, and that's why, again, you know, yes, it is upsetting what they're doing, but people have to want to know. People need to have to be tired. People have to want to wake up. And I see that, you know, you can present a forum, which is what you do, for of information. You have the door open for anybody who really says, you know what, I want to dive in more. I want to know more. As they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. And
exactly.
So you can do the best you can, but until that person is ready, that's all you can do. You can just keep doing what you do, and you keep the door open. And some people are terrified. Mm-hmm. I think some people take the fear aspect, the fear angle. They're afraid. So it's easier to go with what you know, which is, whatever life has been, it's easier to go with that as opposed to stepping into independence and freedom. Because let's face it, human beings have been programmed to be governed for a very long time. This has been going on for thousands of years, probably, with being governed, being controlled, being ruled. And so now the majority is afraid of having that kind of responsibility for themselves. That's why we get ridiculous with politics, with the government, and the system knows that. I have never, look at how many people are supposed to be running for president now. It is the craziest thing. I'm like, how can anybody take this seriously? It's such a joke. Like, so many people running for president. And I have always said, I get suspicious of anybody who wants to run. Who wants to do that job? Well, I'm a little suspicious of you, the fact that you even want to do this. So it's really something. And they play these games with them where they look like they're like Donald Trump. That is the craziest. that is comedy. That's just, total comedy that anybody could take this seriously, that this guy. So anyway, the whole thing is just a big joke. Just a big joke.
Yeah.
No,
well, they're appointed anyway. I mean, presidents aren't voted for. I mean, they're appointed. And
exactly.
You know, so basically people, they just put a big show on and have the two parties duke it out and make it look like there's something going on.
Like you're really having a choice.
Yeah.
Like you're really.
Because I know people way up in the food chain, and they told me, you know, before Bush is going to be president, they said, you know, and it looked like Gore was just totally beating him out and everything else, and everybody wanted Gore, and you know, everything looked great, and I had this guy, and I won't mention his name, but he's very high up in the food chain, and he's kind of like an insider, but trying to sabotage it from the inside. But he said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but Bush is going to be appointed. And I go, what are you talking about? I said, he's nobody wants him. You know, he's not a popular president at all. You know, there's no way. And he goes, no. He said, no, it's already done. It's a done deal. He's going to be appointed. And then so I watched the debates, you know, and I watched the debates were such a joke. He looked so bad, and he didn't make any sense whatsoever.
He never does.
Nothing but.
He's like a fumbling, bumbling idiot.
Which was his role. And the guy wins. Yeah, and I go, this is insane. You know, this is totally insane for this guy to win, you know, and so that was one of my, I mean, I've always felt that was true, but when I saw that happen, I said, you know what, I have no doubt whatsoever anymore that it's all controlled, it's all manipulated, and, you know, they have an agenda.
yeah, like 18 people running or something. 16, I don't know, it was 16 at one point. But then also I was listening to another radio show, and they had this guy on talking, and you know what he said made sense. He said that running for president, doesn't matter if you win or not, it's just great exposure and marketing. So even if they don't win, you know, you could get book deals. There's so much. I mean, everything is just a business. I mean, everything is a business venture.
Exactly.
When you look at it, it's just not what people think. And I don't know, they run around, you know, with telling you that this candidate went to this state and, you know, whatever happened there, and people are in the background, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, are you kidding me? This kissing baby thing, people are still falling for it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the poor baby, they're probably, you know, they want to kiss it because they want to kiss their meal, you know, before they eat it, you know. It's a big reptile. I bet that's really hard for him to kiss a baby and not just, like, munch on it
drool.
Right there. And, you know,
yeah, drool.
A lot of self-control.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's everything. I think it's just everything at this time. And, you know, healthcare, a few years back, you know, we were dealing with this hype about the healthcare bill. I mean, this was just like a huge thing. And, you know, the interesting thing, too, James, is that it all sort of interconnects. And the masters at weaving together this web of people where people don't see how the dots connect, you know, the maybe what the healthcare bill was going to have to do with whatever the agenda is. In terms of, you know, people, I don't know, people being more docile, more vulnerable, people being more into, you know, having to get their medications, their, you know, pharmaceuticals. I mean, it's just a whole chain reaction because, let's face it, when people pay for insurance, and I've heard this from people with their health care insurance, they want to make sure that they go and they get their checkup because you're paying for it. They want to get full use of it. And I think it's fascinating because now with everybody, you know, running around more, even wanting to go get full use of it, who knows what more people are going to be told that they need and, you know, what they need to take or what they need to do. Then they take more of certain medications that then triggers health problems, which then just creates more business. It's this domino effect that goes on. You know, shareholders are happy. There's more, you know, there's more money coming in.
Yeah, I've told this story before with my dad. My dad, they had him on like 20-something meds. I don't know how many meds. And, you know, I came in with my nephew, and we looked it all over, and my brother, too, and we did the research on it. We go, oh, my God, you know, all the side effects he's having. Yeah, all the problems he's having are from these meds. And so we, you know, we fought the doctors and everything, and we got him off most of the meds, and we got him drinking, you know, oxygen water, and we got him on the special powder. And, you know, it's so funny. He went from basically almost comatose in a chair where he didn't even know who we were to he got up out of the chair and walked 2 miles from his house to my house. And just shocked everybody, and they couldn't believe it. And he was clear-minded, and he was jumping around. He goes, I feel great. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, I won't mention names, but some of the other people around him freaked out, and they go, you got to get back. You got to get back on your meds. You know, you're going to die. You know, you're going to have a stroke or whatever. And so they all put him back on the meds, and sure enough, you know, it's like went right back to zombie.
Yeah, people don't get that, man, because the body's a chemical factory, and so that means the body makes its own chemicals. It mixes everything for your hormones. It mixes up the right potion, and you come along and you put a lot of these pharmaceuticals in, and the body just freaks out because it is a foreign substance. It is that chemical does not blend. It doesn't integrate so easy with the body's own chemical process. And that's where it comes in. It causes a problem, and the body starts trying to throw it off. even though you may feel better over here, but then it's wreaking havoc on some other organ. A weaker part of your body is feeling the effects of this, you know, repulsion or rejection of that chemical. So I think the education involved is nil. There's no education for people on how their body actually will respond, to what goes in it chemically.
I know Bruce Lipton's covered a lot of this. I mean, I know you've been working with him and several other people, and, you know, and I've noticed, too, is like my theory is, you know, food should be your medicine, and you should eat as close as you can to the earth, you know, get away from all the additives and everything, and really check your water. Make sure you know what's in your water. You know, get the pure water into your system. And the problem is, you know, one of these yogis I studied with, he said, you know, the cure for cancer basically is, you know, he said pure food, you know, fresh water, sunshine, you know, and clean air and basically right thinking. You know,
free stuff.
That's the cure for cancer.
Stuff that's free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, really think about it, go, okay, boy, it's really getting really tough to get fresh water right now because of all the crap they're putting in everything. Even the air you breathe is so full of toxins and chemtrails, you know, and I'm not trying to be a downer. This is just a reality. The sunshine is being blocked by the chemtrails on a huge, you know, huge level. We have to start supplementing ourselves with vitamin D to catch up. And, you know, I look at all of these things and everything that he's saying that we need to do, our whatever leadership is doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember when everybody suddenly they go to the doctor and they're like, yeah, you're low in vitamin D. And they're starting to, this was like, I don't know, very strongly, like maybe 5 years ago. Like everybody I know, they went to the doctor and they're like, yeah. And they gave me a prescription for vitamin D. But nobody ever really says anything about the sunshine. And I think, you know, again, part of it too, regardless of what's going on in our atmosphere, I think that most people are not exposed to the necessity of hanging out in nature. In taking that moment, several days, a week, or whatever they can do to at least take that break and get into nature, get up to the mountains, somewhere that is, you know, away from much of this, because the body has a buildup of static electricity all the time, anyway, every day from sitting in front of the computer. Yeah, they can get rid of some of that static electricity by simply even just going outside, taking off your shoes and rubbing your feet in the grass. But that static electricity buildup actually interferes with the cells, with the oxygen getting into the cell. And I think a lot of people have this happening and they don't understand why. And obviously, if their cells aren't getting enough oxygen, it's going to affect circulation and many other things. That if there's not enough oxygen getting into the cell, then it's going to also throw off, you know, the electrical process of the cell. Then you're not getting enough water. Water is a conduit for electricity. So there's this whole dynamic, this whole thing, this ecosystem that people don't understand. But nature, it's very important to go into nature when you can. And we just did that. We went camping recently. We went camping. We got back on Monday. We left on Friday, and we went up to Idlewild, like 6,000 feet. And it was just the best time because you're not dealing with cell phones and technology. You're just outdoors in, you know, which is where we technically belong.
I agree. I always tell people here, we have this field of dreams here, and I tell people, take your shoes off, walk the field, you know, do your mantra, whatever it is, whatever you're trying to undo or get out from under, you know, focus on the positive, do your mantra. And people do, they walk right out of their diseases. They walk right out of their problems. And I've seen it happen over and over again. And a lot of it is just, getting resynced with the earth, you know, getting back in touch with the earth and let, you know, a lot of the pain actually comes through your feet. It actually leaves your body through your feet.
So. Absolutely. That's why the
feet. Yeah, so if you get your feet on the ground, she'll take it. You know, Mother Earth will take it. She'll change it, reform it.
Well, we're locked into shoes all the time. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So everybody is in shoes, which just completely separates you from the earth. You've got shoes. You've got the concrete. You've got asphalt. It's not a whole lot. A lot of people aren't touching. And then they wonder, they've got knee problems. They've got joint problems. They've got, their bones are fragile. And so many things. Yes, nature. Just simply being exposed to nature and drinking a heck of a lot of water
can
make all the difference in the world. Just simple things, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if Cody told you about that. I mean, he was working for Max over there at Langenberg Research with the oxygen water, with the microhydrant. And, boy, that's basically all I drink. And so, my blood oxygen is way up there, and I stay pretty hydrated, but I've gotten spoiled because that's basically all I drink now, because I know it's pure and it hydrates you because it's a microhydrate, and then the oxygen levels are off the scale.
Yeah.
I think if I wasn't drinking that water, I'd be dead right now probably.
I think you mentioned it before, microhydrate. Is there a specific water you're saying or the process?
It's a process that he makes. It's almost like NASA technology, but he takes water and filters it, gets all the impurities out of it, and then he turns it into a smaller water molecule through technology, through super, frequencies and things like that. And then he oxygenates it, but he creates a crystallized oxygen that's suspended in the water. And because of that, like, everybody says they have oxygen water, but as soon as you pop the lid, you hear and it's gone,
It's over.
Yeah, there's nothing to bind to, but being crystallized and suspended in the microhydrogen in the water, it stays with you. And if you take an oximeter and put it on your finger and drink the water, you can see your blood oxygen goes up immediately.
So it's
an amazing, oxygen's the highest systemic antibiotic you can get, basically. So it's a must for today with all the things that we're undergoing. But, just Langenberg. If you want to check out, just go to Langenberg Water.
What is it called?
It's Langenberg Water, Langenberg Water.
I know you mentioned it before. I know you did.
I worked with him for 7 years for free to get this out, to help him get it out, because I saw how powerful it was. But, there's a lot of other options. There's things, therapies out there that are coming out right now, and I've seen therapies that are just nothing more than miraculous, but the problem is being able to use them and not get shut down or thrown in jail,
That's exactly it, because I have talked to several people where they're going, I don't know if I can do that because, I don't want to be known. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to, So it's really wild how people are having to hide to do natural therapies. It's pretty crazy.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
I've seen some of this technology. I've seen people go in wheelchairs and walk out. Amazing technologies. And talking to Captain K, he said that we have these regeneration chambers where you can actually lose an arm or a leg or even an organ or whatever, and they put you in these chambers and they just grow a new one.
Because it triggers the stem cells to go where they need to go.
Yeah.
Because that's what's growing.
It's almost like a printer. I hate to say it, but it's almost like one of these 3D printers, but it actually prints out body parts. Amazing technology, I've heard about this technology with the super soldiers, things like that. But can you imagine if we had that here for people here on the planet?
Yeah, well, that's kind of why that show Extent. That's why that show is actually pretty interesting, because they're kind of going in that direction in terms of what they call humanics. One show is called Human, but Extent, they call these things humanics. They're very much can act like human beings, but they're robots. And obviously they're able to self, to generate, whatever is needed, whatever the body part is. But anyway, you'd have to watch a show to see where they're going with it. Cause you
What's
see
it called again? I missed that. It's What's the show's name?
Extant. I think it's Extant. It's Holly Berry.
Oh, okay.
Produced by Steven Spielberg. Well, they both produced it. But it really is a great show. The movie Ex Machina, that's also quite interesting. All these movies, like I said, they're telling you. And Human, that show Human, that show you should also check out. That's a
Yeah, I'll have to check.
Yeah.
I'll have to check those out. I know one of the things is transhumanism agenda, which is tied into the latest things that they're dropping in the chemtrails and, you know, all the electronics that we're surrounded with and everything. I mean, I've heard people on at the top of the food chain in the New Age movement and things like that bragging how it's a good thing, you know, and that we all need to get behind it. And, you know, they're like, they want us to become like the Borg, basically.
You know what it is? It's been a Borg agenda, and I think there's just a lot of confusion with people, especially, well, New Age movement as well, in terms of, you know, what's really going on. And what's a great thing? Of course, yes, some of these technologies, it's going to help somebody that really needs it. But the thing that I look at is what we're not encouraged to do. We're really not so much encouraged to really activate these vehicles, these bodies, really can be activated in a whole different way. That is not push. What is push is external approaches. And I'm not saying no to them for certain situations. Somebody lost a leg and they need to have one or arm. Yes, but they're not pushing the human potential. We're seeing it, in some shows. Now this Limitless has become a series. I guess that's going to be coming on. That's becoming a series. We're hearing a lot about the brain. We're hearing a lot of that kind of thing with Lucy and what would happen if we use 100% of our brain.
You know,
those things, those kinds of films, yes, are suggesting that there is a whole other side to us that can be activated and that these bodies can really take care of themselves, and there's a whole lot that we can do when people begin to really understand it and read it that way. So we can look at the pros and cons of some of this, and it's all a matter of interpretation, you know, but we're not sort of step one or step two or take this pill, and that's the challenge.
I think the one people I tell people that, you know, the reason these entities are abducting you is because you have the seeds of the gods. You know, you have the God genes, and that's what they're looking for. And all we got to do is start activating them and getting in touch with our true nature and get out of these old limiting belief systems. And once you do that, you know, you don't need technology. You don't need a ship. You can go anywhere you want.
You can,
It's just a thought away.
Because you're activated. You know? You've what should I say? You have really merged with who you are. I mean, you're living from that place, as opposed to living from what I call the robot mind, which is the program self. That's where pretty much, you know, everybody lives from, is that space, is that program self.
Exactly. And like these grays and things, they're limited by their technology, where their technology could take them, because they haven't activated themselves. They don't have emotions and free will and the ability to transcend, you know, into the higher dimensions, and they're stuck. And, you know, that's why they are abducting people. But we need to
They're just
not
another
give
level
up.
Of technology. I mean, that they are. They're just another level of a technological species as well.
Exactly. And, I mean, they're a good example of where not to go, you know, because why are they coming to us if they're so advanced and if they're so wonderful or whatever? Why are they coming to us and trying to get our seed? You know, obviously there's a problem with their program.
Well, and it's like anything else. You know, you can decide that you're going to go to this car and try to get, you know, parts off of it for your car. Your car may be, you know, highly whatever, one of the highly advanced vehicles, but then there might be some other parts on the other car that you decide, you know, wait a second, if I put that on, this feature I don't have, I can do this. Or even a software program. You know, it's the same thing. You know, you want to upgrade, which is how our system is set up, our whole computer system is set up. You're constantly needing to, you know, upgrade. And there's some people that don't upgrade at all because they just don't grow with the change in technology or computers. They will sit there with dial-up. It's, you know, it's in a way it's the same thing. They're scared to leave that space because they got comfortable with that, and you just kind of stay there. And then eventually it breaks down completely and it just dies. And why does it do that?
Oh, yeah.
It does this because it is no longer capable of interacting with any of the other programs because they're too advanced, they're too large, the bandwidth is too large, and it cannot accommodate it. So it just dies. It just goes away. It's no different in terms of how we think and how we operate. You got to keep it moving, I always say. You got to keep evolving, you know, with the change in our in the human program. When I say the human program, I mean the bigger picture of the human experience. Because the human experience is really a massive program. So, you know, where do you fit in? Are you going to be a Borg? You have that option. You can Borg yourself away. Or you can, you know, you can wake up and activate, get yourself all activated for a more expansive experience in this journey.
I agree. You know, we just got a couple minutes left on the on the clock here, so I wanted to be sure and cover some of the events you've got coming up and your website, you know, which is www.thebusinessofdisease.com.
Oh, yeah, that's for the film. Yeah, thebusinessofdisease.com.
Yeah.
People can go there to see. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me let you finish.
Oh, no, I just go ahead and let people know where you're going to be, whatever else you want to finish with.
Yeah, we have upcoming screenings for Sedona, you know, Temecula here in California, Little Rock, Arkansas, Boulder, you know, Colorado, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the screenings are always listed on the website, so do check it out. Oh, let me too say that I will be in New York on October 3rd doing a lecture. October 3rd, it's a Saturday, and it's from 10:30 to 4, and that's in New York. And you can go to spiritinform.com for that information to register for that full day workshop / lecture, spiritinform.com. And then the Joshua Tree Retreat, which is next February of 2016, they can go there to the same website and check that out as well, spiritinform.com.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the speaker series on thebusinessofdisease.com, you can also see information on the speaker series, the self-care movement speaker series. And I think...
great. You know, I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing, educating people about, you know, where we're going with this system and how we need to start taking responsibility. And I think that is the key to everything. And I've seen all these other pundits saying, you know, the key to chemtrails, the key to disease, the key to everything is that we have to start taking personal responsibility and do our own research and really look at other options and see if we are being misled and where they're taking us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ask questions, research.
Yep. Exactly. Hey, we're out of time right now, unfortunately, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll stay in touch and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, James. You too. All righty.
All right. James Gillen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening, and get that pure intent going, that open mind, that loving heart. Watch the skies, and you'll never know what's going to happen. Have a good evening.